Welcome into another edition of See What's On, and our special guest today is none other than Tom Pirazzoli, who is a musician and painter from Goshen, New Hampshire. He is going to be performing in an upcoming show at Slate's Restaurant in Hollowell, Maine, as part of their Monday night concert series on January 13th. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you very much, Dick. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you in Maine and for a show, and I know it's not your first time up here. Now, you've had 9 studio albums, including your newest release coming up, you know, and with all of that music and 30 years of performing and traveling the world, you know, what do you plan on doing in your Monday night show?
Well, I actually am probably going to start off with a song that got some airplay on WCLZ years and years ago, probably in the early 90s when I had a record called Travels, which was released nationally by a New York label called Great Northern Arts. And that got quite a bit of airplay. It was the first cut on the record, which was produced by Peter Galway and recorded at Tom Blackwell and Tim's studio, Studio 3, when it was in Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael McGinnis played on a lot of great, Ted Glendon, a lot of great people played on the record.
Great. So you're going to be starting off with something from Travels.
Yeah, hoping that people will remember that from the day.
Sure, sure. So you within your show, you're going to cover something probably from all of your albums to reflect on your history, or?
Most of them, for sure. Probably at least, well, two of the albums are instrumental albums,
mm-hmm.
and I will not be doing anything from them because the instrumental duo has... We've closed the doors on that. The airplane hangar is shut. No more flights on that plane.
Okay.
We had a great time while we did it, and I've moved along and kind of gone back to more the singer thing, which I continued to do while we had that. But I've focused on this again. A lot of the reason being that Willie Porter and I were sitting around the house here playing songs, and he was like, man, you got to make another record. You just got to make one more record, you know. And he said, these songs are great. And I said, oh, I don't know. And he said, well, come out to Milwaukee. We'll record it at my house. And
mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was done out in Milwaukee, and a lot of it was done in Sutton, New Hampshire, Jerry Putnam's studio. Some of it was done in Vermont. And then My Bloomfield from Rain and Jane's,
mm-hmm.
they cello on it out in California. So I guess... It flew around.
It's a very well-rounded album. We're really anxious to talk more with you about that. And by all means, folks, get out there for the Monday night concert series at Slate's on January 13th, coming right up this Monday, next Monday. So Tom Pirazzoli will be playing solo there and reflecting on several of his albums and his life in music and in painting. I would imagine you'll talk a little bit about your painting then, too. So, Tom?
I intend to bring a couple of paintings with me, so that should be, you know, that should round out the visual as well. It looks like, actually, Scott Elliott from the Boneheads and Steve Jones may also come and sit in for a couple of songs, so we could have some... We could have some moments on the stage, if you will.
That sounds like fun. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Monday night, January 13th at Slate's Restaurant in Hollowell as part of their Monday night concert series. I know this is not your first trip to Maine, and Monday you're going to be performing there at Slate's, and you'll have a couple of other local musicians you mentioned that might stop by.
Yeah, it's looking like Steve Jones and Scott Elliott, who are both members of the Boneheads, and several other groups, actually.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They do a lot of shows, and should come and, or are supposed to come and play a couple songs with me, you know, and we'll have some fun.
Yeah, my listenership all recognize the Boneheads, and of course, the you know, Bobby Caldwell and all of those folks are built into that whole scene as well. Now, you've got 9 studio albums out, including your newest one, which we want to talk about in a minute, you know, Wreck in the Light, and that you've collaborated with Willie Porter. But along the way, you've collaborated with other great artists, Joyce Anderson, David Wilcox, and others. A good part of your career, it sounds like, has been in collaboration with a lot of other musicians in producing what you do.
Indeed, yes, and a lot of it's been writing with those other folks. David took an instrumental song of mine and put some lyrics to it at one point and sang the melody. I don't believe that he ever recorded it, but he did perform it for a while, and mm-hmm. it was a fun song when he was doing it. I haven't seen David in about a year, so I have no idea if he's still playing it or not. And Joyce and I wrote a couple of songs together. Oh, I think it was before she had her kids, so it was probably about. Mm-hmm. 15 years ago. It was a little while back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's interesting because your music has some interesting quotations about it. I'm thinking of the Boston Sunday Globe quote that you highlight on your website, Pirazzoli.com, where they say your poetic lyrics make his songs worth reading as well as hearing. And as I listen to some of your music, I really get what they were saying. There is an interesting poetic level to your songs, as there is in songwriting anyway. But it is worth reading as well as listening.
Thank you, sir. That's high praise.
It's great. It's great. And I was thinking, along with that, you seem to build in a fair amount of humor in your storytelling. I'm thinking of Grandma.
Yes, and true it is. My two grandmothers did like to travel across the country. This is not a made-up story, and they were very great people, and they both grew up on farms, and they were born in the 19th century, in the 1800s, and I mean, no running water, you know,
right.
No toilets in the house, no electricity, you know, different world. When they got the car, it was like, cool, let's go.
They're newfound life, right?
They were amazing. I think one day I was just thinking about my Nana cruising down the road, you know, out west, and Jack Kerouac driving the other way on the highway. Who was cooler, you know, the 28-year-old guy or the 62-year-old woman?
and that, I think, is that whole spirit comes through in your songs. And I, you know, I have to say, when you start off your website, one of the quotes you use is from William Burke from back in 1780, before our times. I mean, we're getting up there, but we didn't live that back. But the quote is really powerful. There is a boundary to passions when we act from feelings, but none when we are under the influence of imagination. Why did you choose that quote?
Well, I think I have a huge influence on my life and my work has been Jalaluddin Rumi, who's quite popular now, and I'm happy that I've been reading him since, like, scarily enough, since the 1960s. But his work is amazing, and a lot of the point he makes is that you can understand things better through bewilderment than intellectual analysis. So if you're allowed to see the magic in the world, if you allow yourself to see the magic in the world, you will see it, you know, rather than trying to figure everything out.
And you not only see it, but then you capture it in your songs. And, you know, in this collaboration, Reckoned by the Light, seems to be a good example of all of that. You know, why that title?
Well, it's comes from the second song on the record, which is called Reckoned by the Light, and it's about a sailor and a man who speaks to a younger man about his travels in the earlier days, but it's also about keeping a focus on your goal, you know. The song Sleepwalker, which I mm-hmm. was talking about, which was on Travels, says you've got to know your goal before you begin your quest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and you know, and the sailor learns to use a star up in the sky as a guide. If you have a focus, or if you have that distinct goal that you are actually, or the ideal that you wish to accomplish, then, and you know what it is, then you're more likely to make your way towards it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that seems to be somewhat autobiographical in terms of your life.
I try, you know, it's a lot of it's work. You know, everybody goes, oh, how do you just so talented with the painting and writing the songs, and it's like still 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. You know, it's a lot of work to paint and write songs, and you know, it's some of them are magic and they happen instantly. Sometimes they're the best, you know. Sometimes I think, you know, like Paul McCartney's Blackbird. You listen to that song. Mm-hmm. I've read that he was working on a Bach bass part, because most bass players study Bach because of his intricate bass movements. Mm-hmm. And he worked up Blackbird. But it's one of those songs that when you play, you think, yeah, this kind of just came to the guy. You know, he didn't like think this through and say, oh, I'm going to create this song about a blackbird singing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all this contrived creation. It's a magical creation.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like the image that you're painting there, and the whole idea of playing with imagination and evoking that within what you're doing. And then within some of your music, I'm thinking of the On the Railroad song and a couple of others. You play with other senses as well. I mean, that's a real kinesthetic sense going on with the On the Railroad tune that you had in your video section of your website, again, pirozzoli.com. Do you often play with some of the other senses as you're working your pieces?
As much as I can. It's good to give them as much dimension as possible. I actually wrote a second verse for that song since then. That's an older... There's a much, much, much older version of that with me and Scott Elliott playing it, actually, on YouTube.
Okay, all right.
I think it's 1988 or 89.
Wow, okay.
Let's put it this way, Dick. I had hair back then, okay?
Well, hey, listen, I still have the hair. That's a subject of genetics, but that's nothing else but that. But I'm just figuring we must have crossed paths somewhere along our way. You know, I'm definitely an old hippie, so I got a sense that, you know, that hippie spirit of the day. We travel a lot, we explore a lot, we certainly played with our emotions and our imagination. And I was an art major as well, so I really appreciate what you're doing with your paintings as well, and some of them have made it to your album covers. And I gather on your show on Monday at Slate's, you're going to bring a couple of your paintings.
I will bring a couple up there. Actually, John Gorka has put two of my paintings on two of his albums as well. And
what a nice compliment.
Yes, John's an old friend. I think, I don't know how long I've known him, since Before the Beginning, as one of his albums is called.
Oh, okay. Well, John, there's another name, not to drop names here, but Gorka is somebody that listenership will really pay attention to as well. So that's a great, great honor to have.
He's so good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So with your folky, I'm almost saying, I get a lot of sense of blues sound in your music. How would you characterize your music style?
Well, I think it kind of almost depends on the era in which I was, which music I was playing. I was very much influenced in the 1980s by a lot of the work that Bruce Coburn was doing, Canadian singer-songwriter. He's amazing. You know, and then there's other people like, you know, John Martin and, you know, Richard Thompson and people who kind of had the British folk rock thing going on there. And, you know, I mean, and, you know, Sandy Denny, you know, Fairport Convention. You know, this is going way back. And then as time moved on, you know, I listened to, you know, a lot of other people, including David Byrne. And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that I love. You know, I love Pat Metheny and, you know, I love Miles Davis. There's all kinds of amazing music out there that, you know, Joe Henderson, you just can't deny, you know, so much talent. But I also love Garnet Rogers and Archie Fisher just put a record out, which is very traditional sounding, but boy, is it great. I heard the first cut and I'm listening to it and I'm saying, Garnet, you know, I know Garnet pretty well. And I was there when I was listening to it. I was in my car. I was like, Garnet, this is great. You know, I'm talking on the radio. And people clap at the end of it. I was like, and it was live?
Yeah, yeah. No,
I think the influences are extremely broad and varied.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I had the pleasure of meeting Garnett in a show we produced in Hollowell also not too many years ago. And, you know, as I was listening to a couple of your songs, I was reminded of Garnett's style. So I was wondering if there was any connection there. So that's an interesting. Do you ever participate in the folk festival, the Rogers family folk? Well, Stan Rogers, his brother, Garnett's brother, still has the name on that festival down in New Brunswick.
Yeah, I have not been up there to play. I have not. It'd be an honor to go up there and do that. Maybe someday I'll talk to Garnett about it when he's out and about and down this way.
You definitely should. And I know you've got great stuff coming right up. You've got an appearance coming right up on New Hampshire Public Radio on February 2nd, and also several other shows in the New Hampshire area. I was noticing one nice venue that was near where I used to live in Newmarket, New Hampshire, the Stone Church. And I was telling you off mic about my first experience at the Stone Church, not being religious, but not a regular churchgoer. Some friends said, you know, you really ought to go to this place, the Stone Church. And it was a hard rock band performing there. And I thought that was an odd juxtaposition of having a hard rock band and a bar in an old stone church in Newmarket. So I was a little thrown by that. But we got into the parking lot. It was snowing like crazy that night. And got out of the car. And about then, this amazing snow thunderstorm broke open with lightning and the rolling thunder and the snow coming down. And I said, somebody is definitely trying to tell me something about going to this facility. But I went in and I really loved that venue. So,
it's a great venue. I'm actually performing that show with Willie Porter.
Okay.
Who produced this record and played guitar all over it. He sang all the harmonies. And he played bass on it in some places, and he also played lap steel on it. It was a very amazing guitar player, and he did a lot of work on this. And a lot of his guys out in Wisconsin were friends of mine, because I used to tour out there all the time, played on it, including Brian Muir. He's such a great bass player, and I'm honored to have these people on this record.
Oh. It's a great album, and it's great to talk with you. That brings us full circle. We hope to people get out to see you at Slate's on Monday the 13th as part of this Monday night concert series. It's great to have you in our state yet again. I look forward to hearing about shows that you mount with your artwork as well here in the state, and we hope to carry that information and some images up on See What's On. So for this and more, please visit See What's On. By all means, check out Tom Pirazzoli at Slate's in Hollowell on Monday the 13th, coming right up. Thank you so much, Tom, for taking some time out with us today.
My pleasure. Great being here.